And I pray, asking God, I said, Lord, I need something for Father's Day. I started off with I was going to use the prodigal son and then use the father in the prodigal son, but it wasn't working for me. But, you know, we'll see what happened. The kids will stay because it's Father's Day, so they could hug on their fathers in service, give them all the love, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you can't have fathers without mothers. Yeah. Now, God's plan, some of the things I was looking at, and I know we talk about Mother's Day, and now we're talking about Father's Day. God's plan is for you or to be a mother or a father, it has to come within the boundaries of marriage. It's God's plan. I grew up with my mother and in my grandparents' home with five other brothers, most of them different fathers. That's not God's plan. It's a shame today that we see that is happening today in America and throughout the world. God's plan is not that kids grow up with only a mother or only a father. God's plan is, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, he says, the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. And I'm so surprised. I was surprised that God made a woman for him. In America today, they would have hoped that he made a man. But God made a woman. He didn't make a man. He didn't decide, well, let's make a woman for him and then make another man, a woman, and make a woman for her. God's plan for marriage is a man and a woman. It doesn't matter how we feel, what's going on inside us. It doesn't matter about our flesh, what God says. God says, therefore, a man should leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they both shall become one flesh. You know, when we get married, we stand before the priest, or some people go to the courthouse, they stand before the judge or whoever they do it with, and then marriage is consummated with sex after that. So what it really saying to you young people, if you're not married, don't have sex. Because if you have sex, you'll end up being a mother or a father that is not a family. And that's not God's design. God's design is for there to be a husband and a wife before there is kids. So I looked at all of that. I wanted to state that because we need to know what God's design is. I know some of us has not really fulfilled God's design. That's okay. If you come to Jesus and you are a follower of Jesus, he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Meaning, if you had children out of wedlock, God can cleanse you of that unrighteousness. Meaning, and it didn't say some sin, it says all sin. So if you're a follower of Christ, all sin, God forgives. But then I wanted to talk to fathers a little bit, and this may be short, it may be long, I don't know. But I went to Abraham. I thought of David, and I said, boy, David was not a very good father. So I said I couldn't use David. David was really a poor example of what a father is. But think about this. Even though David was in my opinion now, some people may preach a message and say how great a father he was, but in my opinion, he was not such a good father, but yet God says, that man have a heart after me. So sometimes I want to let you guys and you men know, we may not always do the right thing. We may live all our life as a father in the home and don't fulfill or do the right thing in bringing up our kids, but our heart towards God could be solid. So sometimes we look at people and we look at what they did and how they fall and what is happening in their life, and we judge them by that. But I praise God this morning that God says, David is a man after my own heart, and David really wasn't that great of a father. So don't beat yourself up if you're not that great of a father. Just listen to what I have to say today and change. Because the most important thing is that you have a heart after God. Abraham. The first thing that fathers should have is a belief in God. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And I may have some lengthy readings here and there, but Genesis chapter 12, and this is not one I'm going to jump around to either, but hallelujah. Genesis 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonor you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Don't know where I get that 30 from. My eyes. I am 55 and my eye not doing that good. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But Abraham, what did he do? He heard the voice of God, and he believed the voice of God, and he followed the voice of God. Abraham was a man who believed God. In chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I am... for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and the member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. You, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him inside and said, look outside and said, see, something wrong with my eyes. And said, look towards heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he believed the Lord. Abraham was a man that believed God. How many of us today believe God? God has spoken to us in his word. But how many of us believe God? When God says there is no temptation taking you but such that is common to man, but will with the temptation make your way of escape. How many believe God? How many have even looked for the way of escape? Do we believe God? How many of us believe God when God says to us that there will be testings and trials? How many of us believe God? How many of us believe God when we're going through things that we cannot explain, and when we're in pain and whatever else we are going through, and we don't believe that God says, and lo, I'll be with you always. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God. So as the man of the household, I encourage you to believe God. Believe God when he says to you, if you don't treat your wife right, your prayers wouldn't be heard. Believe God when he says that. Because if we believe God, some of us wouldn't treat our wives the way we do. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him to righteousness. Second thing, I looked at Abraham as I was looking down. Abraham was a man of intercession and compassion. Abraham was a man of intercession and compassion. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 22. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. And Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Abraham was an intercessor, and he had compassion. Now, this is my belief. Don't go tell anybody the word of God says. My belief is he also had compassion for those people who lived there. That's just my belief. Because sometimes I see the unrighteous and I see something going on in their heart and it pains me and I pray for them. But here he's saying, Lord, he said, God, if there's 50, just 50. And I'm making an argument with you right now, Lord, as I come before your face, 50, would you spare that? And God says, well, if I find 50, I'll do it. God didn't find 50. And Abraham didn't give up. He said, Lord, what about 5 less than 50? Would you spare it? And God said, yes, I'll spare it. Now, some of us would have stopped right there when God come back and say, I can't find any. We'd have said, well, Lord, those rascals, those ungodly people, just wipe them off. I'm done. But Abraham went all the way down to 10. Lord, what about 10? What about 10? Now, I don't know if you're getting this. Here is a man that he's going to God and he's getting no all the time and he's changing the criteria to see if he can save this nation. And the nation could not be saved. Abraham was a man of intercession. Fathers, how many people, places, countries have you interceded for? Some of us are fathers, and some of us spend no time seeking the face of God on behalf of others. I pray that you'd make a slight tweak. You know, I saw them playing with this thing this morning, trying to get it right. Some of us, we are like this amplifier. You know, it had to be tweaked to get it right. I pray that you will do a little tweaking and spend some time in intercession. We are in a country, America, that is going to hell in a handbasket. How many of us say like Abraham, Lord, if there's just 50 in America, would you save it? Father, if there's just 50 in Centerville, would you not bring down your wrath on Centerville? The way it's going on, just 50? Some of us will find it easier to pray and say, God, if you don't do something with America, you got to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I praise God that was not Abraham's attitude. Abraham was saying, God, if there is 10. I pray for America all the time. And when I pray for America, I pray that God would bless it. I pray God that God will restore. I pray that God will bring back prayer in the school. I pray that God will put godly people in power because here is where I live. And that's what God told Israel when they were not in the promised land. They were somewhere else. God says, you need to pray because there's where you live. There's where your food comes from. That's where your check comes from. Some of us go to work and the business, bringing it closer, the business that you're working is shutting down. And you don't even know how to intercede, God, God, if there's 10 people working here today that is righteous, would you do something, keep this around, because this is how we live, this is how we eat. Abraham was a man of intercession and compassion. Abraham was a man who knew where his blessing came from. Do you know where your blessing comes from? Sometimes I can't tell. You know why I can't tell? Sometimes I asked the treasurer, I said, treasurer, how are we doing? And the treasurer says, the people are giving. And I said, boy, they don't realize the lights bill had to be paid. They don't realize that the water bill has to be paid. They don't realize that the pastor need to eat. I had to throw that in there. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 19 to 20. And this is after Abraham had won the battle. He said, and he blessed, and the priest came, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. This was so important. Now, I know if you studied tithing, people have all kind of reason out there not to tithe. I could tell you right now, go study it. And if you are going to study it because you want to justify why not to bring a tithe into the house of the Lord, you will find it. I guarantee it. But here is Abraham, before the law of tithing was developed. And Abraham knew where his blessing came from, and he gave back a tenth. Now, this is me. It was so important that they mention it in the New Testament. It says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 4, it says, see how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of his spoils. Folks, I tell you something. If you are not giving to the Lord, you do not know where your blessing comes from. Let me bring it home a little bit. Kids, if you are not in your home doing what you're supposed to do to help out the house, you will know what your blessing coming from. If all you do when you're home, kids, is watch TV, go out in the yard and play, when there's stuff to be done in the house, and you're not doing anything, you are not showing appreciation to what is going on, to how you're being fed. You are not showing appreciation for what God is doing in that household. Family, if you are coming to church and getting the word of God, and God has blessed you with a job, you didn't have one, you cry out for one, God gave you one, and you are not bringing something and giving it to the Lord, something is wrong because you don't know where your blessing is coming from. Abraham knew where his blessings were coming from. So, fathers, do a little tweaking. If you are not one that are given back to the Lord, taking a little example from Abraham. Number four, Abraham was a man of total surrender and faith. He was a man of total surrender and faith. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Genesis chapter 22. Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, in whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place to which God has told him. Wait a minute. Abraham told us earlier, in Genesis, it says that he had no children. He asked God, how is this going to come through? I don't have any children. What's going to happen is one of my servants is going to be the heir of all I've got. And Abraham was not a poor man. And God said, don't worry. Your son is going to be the heir. God comes on the scene when Abraham and his wife was beyond children years and gave them a great miracle. They got a son. And that son came, and then God speaks to him and says, I want him back. Wait. I wonder what you would do if God has promised you something and you finally get it. It's something you wanted really, really bad. And then you got it and start to enjoy it. I mean, you just got it and give it back. You start to enjoy it. I mean, you're enjoying this thing. In fact, it has made your life a wonder. The curse you felt before because you couldn't bear children, now you don't feel it anymore. And then God says, I want it back. Would you be able to surrender it? Abraham was a man of total surrender. You could imagine. I don't know what was going on in his heart. But Abraham heard the voice of God, saddled up his donkey, cut the wood, and took his son to do exactly what God says to do. God gave it to me. I'm giving it back to God. If that's what God wants, that's what I would do. I wonder how many of us will have questions. But Lord, didn't you? But Lord, do you know how long I waited for this? But Lord, it's the only one I got. You know, I've always, I don't know how parents feel, but I always think, boy, if God called my child to go to the mission field, it'll be tough. I mean, when I say tough, it'll be tough because I only have one. Now, if I had 10 and one went to the mission field, it wouldn't be as tough. But here God wanted him to sacrifice his son. And Abraham was a man of total surrender, but he was also a man of faith. Here's the thing. Only in his giving it back to God in obedience did Abraham experience God's miraculous provision and fulfillment of his promise in his life. Do y'all realize that? The very thing that sometimes we don't want to do is the very thing that we need to do in order to experience God's full fulfillment in your life. When they came to the place, verse 9, which God has told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. On top of the wood. And Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Help me, Jesus. Sometimes I wish it just stopped there, because it would give us an experience that we couldn't even imagine. Think about that for a minute. Some of us can't even spank our children without hurting. And here is Abraham, bound his son up. I could just imagine how his heart was feeling. But he wasn't going with heart. He was going with obedience. And through his obedience and total surrender to God, Abraham reached his hand out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." I could just imagine the excitement in his voice then. I could just, listen, he doesn't know what the angel is going to say, but I could just be on the scene and see the excitement, because he knew something was about to happen. He said, "Do not lay your hands on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God." Boy, I'm a kind of emotional guy. When he had said that, I wanted to hear the next words that angel say, because I'd have been running around the fire, so the stick so fast it may caught a fire and burn the sun anyway. I'd have been rejoicing like nobody's business. When I'm done, I have to take some ibuprofen. Yeah, whatever they call it. Praise the Lord. That's my medicine that I'm going to develop and be rich. Praise the Lord. What he said, "Do not lay your hands on the boy and do anything, for I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Seeing that you did not withhold. Sometimes, folks, we lose the battle and we lose the blessing. I wish I could pass every test that comes my way. You know the ones I lose the most is when you show up and it says it's a test and I wasn't ready. I get a few of those in my life. It catch me by surprise. You ever go to class and you forgot there was a test coming? I pray that I can pass every test that God has for me, because I fear God. When we fail, it's because the fear of God in us is not as strong as what we want to do. Men, we need a fear of God. Are you listening? We need a fear of God. Because when we fear God, we will not do some of the things that we do. Some of the tests that comes around, we wouldn't do it, because some of us are still wallowing where we are because we cannot receive what God wants to give to us because we keep failing. "Do not lay your hands on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son." 26. Genesis 26 and verse 4. When we listen and obey and fear God and surrender and put our full faith and trust in God, we will experience what God has for us. "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. This didn't come because he obeyed him here. God gave Abraham a promise over here. Abraham, here is the promise. Here is what I have for you. Abraham was tested here. Abraham passed the test. He got his real estate license and he sold a lot of houses. The promise, way over there, did not arrive until he actually went through the testing of God. And God says, your heart is right. You fear God. Therefore, the promise will come to pass. Some of us has promises from God and we don't see it because we are failing every test. One of the things I ask God and all the time, I say, God, don't let me go around this mountain another time. And then 6 months later, I'm praying the same prayer because I went around the mountain and I didn't pass the test. And there I go again around the mountain. But I also praise God that some mountains I don't go back around because I've passed the test. Because my fear for God is greater. Praise the Lord. That's what I have for you today. I know you all did not see Lance here today, but he have not fallen off the bandwagon. He went to church with his mama. He's going to tell his grandfather Happy Father's Day and all of that. So you will see him next week. And so continue to pray for him and pray for me as I try to.